topic of today for the first summer jazz workshop is phrasing and rhythm, right? Phrasing and rhythm is something that everyone can improve no matter what your level, and it requires virtually no technical presentation from me. We don't have to get into harmony stuff or whatever, and the tunes I picked are very simple, all right? The first tune I picked is C-Jam Blues. So before we get into rhythm and phrasing elements, we're just gonna distribute the tune and have a play through it just so we can, you know, warm up, all right? And then I'll go into my thing. How's that sound? The reason we're starting with phrasing, I mean, obviously, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing, right? So a common thing you hear in improvised music, especially at jam sessions, is you don't necessarily know when the phrases are beginning and ending. You don't necessarily hear a soloist build. You can't tell when that soloist is ending. You ever notice, like, great soloists, like, everybody knows they're ending and they don't have to do anything. They even know, like, before, you know, like, I don't know, how many bars before the end. You can feel it. I don't know how. So that's part of what we're going to talk about. There's several rhythmic components to the clinic. One of them is going to be on rhythmic variety, which is going to be hosted by a drummer friend of mine who's doing one of the sessions. This is not that. This is simply phrasing, and it's mostly eighth notes. So the very first thing we're going to do, it's easy but deep. We're going to make sure that you do silence between each phrase. So if I may ask one of the three chordal instruments to comp for me so I can demonstrate, you're going to leave one entire bar for this first go-round, one entire bar blank between each phrase, all right? And that's all. So let me demonstrate. Who's going to comp? All right, thanks, Art. Ready? One, two. Now, the phrase could be any length, but let's just say it shouldn't really be longer than, let's say, three bars. Like, that's too, we should limit it to two bars and to two or three bars, but it must be four beats silent regardless. All right, here we go. One, two, a one, two, three. I'm not looking for ego or aggrandizing, but how did it sound in terms of, like, amount of space? Did it sound like there was too much space, or did it sound like nice? You can give me feedback.
It sounded nice.
Right? It didn't, but there were times where especially when I felt like I wanted to build, I had to restrain a little bit. So
nice when you varied where it was going to be.
Yeah.
And that made everything a little bit more surprising.
Yeah, like where the four beats are going
to
be.
Well, I was going to say, I thought what you were saying was that it had to be the last part, but you obviously...
It can be anywhere, but it has to be four beats. So it's just a thing where so everyone knows where the beginning, and you know where the beginning and end of your phrase is, no doubt. Now, it's a pretty easy assignment, but we're going to stack it on top. The next step is where you allow any amount of space between phrases. It can be one beat to any number of beats, and you can even explore varying the length of the silence between each phrase, like one, two, three... The next bit is related. It's about swing control. We're gonna slow the tempo down to maybe And the reason I'm going to do that is so that we're going to be pretty precise in the beginning with how the swing is expressed, namely the third part of the triplet. You know, that's like, very loosely speaking, you know, the triplet is behind, is when we say play eighth notes and it's swung, it's not really one and two and three. That's considered straight. Is everybody familiar with these terms? Like straight eighths means one and two and three, where it's 50%, you know, between beat one and beat two, for example, right? And then swing, if you divide each beat into three, then you're talking 67-ish percent, right? Does this make sense with everyone? The next segment is on varying the amount of swing in order to give expression. But just to get started, everyone be precise. If you count triplets, you know, one triplet, two triplets, and leave the middle triplet out, then you got... You don't have to play it staccato like that. You could play it legato, it doesn't matter. Either one is fine. But for now, it should be, you know, right, three, four, like. And it doesn't mean you have to play all triplets. You can have some rests in there. But you should play nothing faster than eighth notes. And you should make the eighth notes exactly triplet-based swing for now. Any questions about that? I mean, it's pretty simple, really. But again, we're building on all this stuff. It's pretty straightforward, right?
Simple over this part.
Say again?
I don't know that it's totally simple over this part. I think I kind of get what you mean.
Okay, so let me demonstrate a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, one of you guys comp? Maybe can I ask Ira, or can I ask you to comp the 12-bar blues?
Yeah.
In C? That's what we've been doing, C jam blues. We could also move on to Autumn Leaves, but let's just do this bit first. Like one, like, so kind of slow, like one, two, three, four. Triplet, two triplet, three triplet, four triplet. So one triplet, triplet, let three, let four, let five, like, you know, like that. Like, it's however you're hearing. You can stop. Thank you. So if you're hearing the word triplet, then you're playing on the let or on the beat. Does that make any sense? If anyone else has another way to do it or a way to explain it, then feel free. But for now, just explore, and if you're having trouble, you can come up to me and sing in my ear or whatever. But just explore that, because the next step is going to be varying where the percent beat or on the triplet. One more time, Ira, if you don't mind. The accents can be wherever you want or not at all. One, two, three, four. So right there, I tried to do an accent I did two accents in that phrase. That note and that note. And one was on a let, if you will. And one was on a beat. And so it was just totally arbitrary. So no, the answer is their accents can be any way you want.
A summary of what we did. If you take that element and put it with the first thing we did, which was the phrasing and the silence, you have quite a bit of range of expression. Just, again, we're not talking any harmony stuff. We're not doing anything faster than eighth notes. There's quite a bit of expression that's possible. Let me see if I can demonstrate both things at once, namely observing the silences between phrases and possibly varying the amount of the silences, as well as having control of how much swing is involved. Maybe we should speed the tempo up just a little bit to back up to where it was. The reason I slowed down the tempo before is so that you could dig into exactly where the eighth note was swung. But if it was... All right, let me see if I can demonstrate. I hope I can. Sometimes I can't on the fly. But it's something to take home. There's a lot of variation in here that you're just with those two concepts of amounts of space between the phrases and amount of swing within the eighth note. So if you wouldn't mind comping, please. So ask yourself, am I doing swing or straight or whatever? One, two, one, two, three. Does anyone want to say any feedback about whether they can hear it or not, or whatever, anything at all?
It sounds like rock, it sounds like jazz.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I mean, rock is usually straight eighths and jazz is usually swung. You could you clearly hear which one was which?
Yeah.
You could, right?
That way, yeah, then I can think of it.
And it's funny because as soon as I heard the straight feel, I immediately went into blues vocabulary because it does. It reminds you of rock and roll. And the more jazzy lines were the swung line. That was just... Is that effective demonstration for all of you? Do you feel sufficient that it's enough to take home and explore?
Yeah.
Do you feel that there's... a lot of potential for variety of expression just within those two concepts? Or is this just too abstract?
A lot of homework.
A lot of homework?
Good.
I mean, this is a clinic where you're, you know, this is food for thought for years. You know, this is not, you know, yeah, you're going to become better in 12 weeks, but this is a transformational, hopefully, from my point of view, a transformational experience that will last the rest of your lives. Because before we go around, I'm going to try and demonstrate. The three things we did in total for tonight were the phrases, the amount of silence between them, so that each phrase is distinct. Second thing we did was the amount of swing within the eighth note. And the third thing we're doing is adding a few triplets here and there to propel the eighth notes forward. If I could put all three of those things together, I wonder what it would sound like. Ira, would you mind comping? I'm not sure I can do it, but we'll see if I can. Trying to put all three together. And if that's too much, then just when it's your turn, only do the most recent thing we're doing, which is the eighth notes with the triplets. Ready? One, two, three. Turn, you tell me what would be the first possibility. Come on. What are you going to do during your solo? What thing are you going to, like, what's one possibility?
Leave space.
What's another possibility? There's three. He got one. What's another one?
Triplets
within the eighth notes. And what's the third one? The amount of swing. You can choose one of those or try and layer all three together if you feel like it.
And